This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 16th of September 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. Today I'm joined in the studio by Adam Sherwin, journalist at The Independent, to discuss some upcoming TV highlights. On the bill today, we have epic Viking Saxon drama, The Last Kingdom. We'll have a bit of comedy in the British-American sci-fi series You, Me and the Apocalypse, which sees cast members on both sides of the Atlantic prepare for a comet hurtling towards Earth. And finally, we'll find out about the new Channel 4 documentary that explores Brits who have joined Kurds fighting IS militants called Frontline Fighting. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Adam. We're going to begin with the new BBC production, The Last Kingdom. Now, this is a Viking Saxon drama that's set to run over 8 episodes this autumn. What's the story here?
Well, this is for people who haven't got enough fantasy, epic fantasy adventure with Game of Thrones. The BBC's kind of trying to get into that market. So what we have here is an adaptation of the Saxon novels by Bernard Cornwell, which have been very successful stories there. And it's set in the era just as Alfred the Great is about to bring England and the warring states together, the communities, the kingdoms in England that the Vikings have taken over. And so what we have is a Saxon nobleman called Uhtred, whose father is killed in battle, and he gets brought up as a Viking by the invading Viking forces in Northumbria. And as he grows up, he realises that his destiny may well be to bring the kingdoms of England together as a unitary state and maybe kick the Vikings out, but yet he retains this strong Viking sympathy because of the way he was brought up by Vikings. So it's his kind of story there.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment, but first let's hear a little bit of a clip from the preview.
It is my hope that all kingdoms will become one, united under one God.
One king.
If all men can agree, yes. The birth of a single kingdom called England has to begin here.
This all sounds very tense and dramatic. Adam, now the enormous success of Game of Thrones, now that seems to have ignited a renewed interest in this sort of series. But I think it's sometimes easy to forget that Game of Thrones is actually a fantasy series. It's actually quite full of strange and mystical elements. How about The Last Kingdom? Is that leaning more towards the historical drama?
Well, for the BBC to do a series like this, there has to be more of a historical justification. So what they're saying is that this series mixes real historical characters, King Alfred, with fictional characters. So it is set in the real world in 782, where it begins, where the Vikings are invading. And then we have developing in this story, it's a political background about King Alfred and how he is able to forge this Kingdom of England together out of these very separate King Wessex, Northumbria, and all these different feuding, often in these cases, noble kingdoms. So there is that element to it, which is historical, but it does deliver, or they try to deliver, some of that kind of bone-crushing violence and all the battle scenes that you'd expect from a Game of Thrones type series.
It certainly sounds quite ambitious for the BBC. It also sounds quite British, but I guess there's no doubting that there's a lot of international attention in this sort of history from all over the world. Do you think that there's some capacity to sell this to other territories as well?
I think this is almost certainly what the BBC had in mind when they went ahead with this series. It's been produced by Carnival Films, which is the company behind Downton Abbey. They're owned by NBC Universal. And the BBC America has put in quite a substantial amount into the budget for this series. So they're going to be premiering it in BBC America in October. And of course, the cast is very much an international cast as well. So I think, obviously, there's a lot of Scandinavian actors. You'd expect that in a Viking drama. But there's some definitely the idea here is it's an expensive series to produce, and they would hope that it does have some international potential.
The Last Kingdom will hit UK screens on October the 10th and will broadcast on BBC Two and BBC America. Well, let's move on now to your second choice for this week. This one's called You, Me and the Apocalypse. It's a comedy which sees Sky One here in the UK team up with NBC over in the US to pull together quite a cast from both sides of the Atlantic, and that features the likes of Rob Lowe and Pauline Quirk as they prepare for the last days of mankind. The characters are based around the world, but their lives become intertwined. How does the story roll out?
Well, there's 34 days to save the Earth, essentially. This comet is plunging plunging towards the planet. And what we have here are a group of very disconnected people who are all brought together in an attempt to maybe survive this comet in the unlikely environs of Slough. So you get a scene with Rob Lowe and Pauline Quirk from Birds of a Feather, which British sitcom viewers will recognise, driving around in a Volkswagen Polo in Slough, which is something that Rob Lowe probably never imagined he would have been doing when he was in the West Wing.
That sounds quite remarkable. Do you think that it will appeal to both British and American audiences?
I think it's got a good chance. It's very ambitious. It's a comedy drama, so it has its serious moments, but they always stop for a crazy scene or a visual sight gag even. And with the cast of people like Megan Mullally from Will and Grace and Jenna Fisher from The Office, with these English actors, I think the way that they've done it, it's very slick. It never drags, it's pacey, and it's interesting to see how it develops, because they'll hope this could be a returning series, although when you've got a comet on its way to Earth, that feels like quite a singular event.
And it does sound quite final.
If they evade that, or whatever happens, if the Earth gets blown up, that might reduce your chances, maybe. But it's certainly going to air on NBC in prime time, hopefully, after it's been out for a few weeks in the UK. It'll start at the end of September on Sky One here, but it'll be interesting to see if American audiences get the British sense of humour, because it's a British writer mixed with an American producers and directors. In fact, one of the directors used to direct 30 Rock, has won an Emmy for his work on that great American sitcom series 30 Rock. So the two styles are going to hopefully work together.
The concept of mixing American and British humour, I think to some might feel a little bit like a seafood milkshake. They probably just shouldn't go together. Do you think that this can actually transcend that problem, though? Because obviously we've seen a lot of British television series that are quite legendary being remade in the US, and the humour tastes change completely. Just going by the preview that I've watched, though, it doesn't necessarily seem to be a straight-out comedy, does it? It's got a few different existential elements to it.
Yes, it's an adventure drama, and within that there are some the characterization is quite strong. Rob Lowe plays a rebellious priest in the Vatican whose faith is challenged by these events, and by a female arrival in the Vatican who challenges his celibacy even, perhaps. So every character here has a kind of dilemma that they have to confront as the end of the world approaches, and it deals with all those questions that you might ask if a comet is about to hurtle towards us. Where would you spend your last days? What would you do? You know, would you just go crazy and do everything you want to do on a bucket list, or would you just be with your family? So within the scenario that has its comic moments, there is some drama there which people might all respond to on different sides of the Atlantic.
And I mean, we were just talking about the BBC series that I said was quite ambitious. This looks no less ambitious, in fact, especially for a television series made specifically for British television screens. Do you think it is ambitious enough to take on the big weights over in the US?
I think it'll be interesting to see. It's going to drop in mid-season when a lot of the American dramas have already started later on this year. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be seen as something quirky. It's being seen over there as being something a little bit different, not your typical mainstream American police procedural type of drama, say. So I think if the buzz from here is good, and American viewers maybe start seeing some clips online, and then they'll be really ready for it. So I think it might suit some of that sensibility that maybe watches some of those late night chat shows in America.
Well, You, Me and the Apocalypse will be showing on Sky One here in the UK from September the 30th, and look out for it on American screens next year. Now, finally, Adam, let's talk about the new documentary that's airing tonight on Channel 4. Frontline Fighting follows British men who have volunteered to fight Islamic State militants in Syria. It looks at amateur fighting on the front line and what's driven them to quit their jobs and put themselves in this situation. First, Adam, tell us a little bit about these men.
Well, there's believed to be about 70 Brits who are currently in and around Syria and Iraq fighting ISIS. And in this case, these are British men who've joined up with Kurdish forces there. And they have gone over there without any particular training. They're not military personnel. They say they're not being paid, so they're not mercenaries. And because they believe so strongly in the idea that Western governments are not doing enough to challenge ISIS militarily, that they are willing to go over there and fight alongside these Kurdish fighters.
Now, I mean, this is something that we've been seeing in the headlines quite a bit recently. How is the documentary going about picking up on some of those headlines? Is it something that feels quite current?
It's really topical, and it's been filmed in a quite extraordinary manner. There are three filmmakers involved, and they're all former British Army personnel who were part of the combat camera unit. So they've got sort of cameras on their chest, very lightweight, and they're able to follow these guys as they take part in operations to take out ISIS barracks. And we're right up in the front line, we see sniper shots going past them, and we see how much real threat they're under, and the kind of adrenaline that actually we see that these British people have. They're not there necessarily for the right reasons, you begin to wonder as you watch this documentary. You're thinking, are they there because they just like the thrill of being in a violent situation? Maybe their lives haven't gone in the way that they would hope that they would do. So that those motivations come out very strongly in this.
And it was made by three former military officers. What's their take on what these men are actually doing?
I did manage to speak to them at the preview, and they, having served in Afghanistan and filmed in places like Afghanistan, they thought this was much more of a difficult situation for them to be in, because there really is no cover, there really is no training, there really is no body armor and helmets that they're used to. So they really were at the mercy of this unknown terrain that they were in. So for them, this was a very different style of combat that they were filming here. And for the men involved, we've now found that one of them has come back and is actually being asked to come in by the Foreign Office and talk to them about the Kurdish situation there, and to see if he can actually make a contribution diplomatically to try and help the government support some of these rebels.
What about the feeling of the documentary then? Because when you've got something like this, it can often go in two different directions. It can either be quite straight news and it's just telling you the facts and giving you context for those facts, or it can also tell a bit of a human story and add a bit of drama to it as well. How does this one play out?
Well, it very much is not going to give you the history of why the Kurds are being attacked, why what ISIS has been doing there. It very much throws you directly into the action there. And we meet a lot of these Kurdish fighters. We're aware that their whole livelihood, their lives are under threat, their families are under threat. And it's quite a moving documentary in a way, because as we get to the end, although the Brits come back home safely, that's not, unfortunately, something that happens to the Kurdish people that they were fighting alongside.
Look out for Frontline Fighting, the Brits Battling ISIS, tonight on Channel 4 here in the UK. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to my guest today, Adam Sherwin. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. My producer today was Holly Fisher. Join us again tomorrow for this week's book review. Until then, thanks very much for listening.